Hour number two, Bruce Hooley Show. Glad to have you along. You can catch the podcast of the show, any portion of the show that you miss, by going to 989 The Answer. Click on Listen, click on Shows, find your way. Jeff takes out the commercials, half hour of content, comes down to about 20 minutes with commercials removed. You can also access the show if you're not in your car to listen to your radio on our app, 989 The Answer app. Search it in the iTunes and Google Play Store, or you can listen on the iHeart, TuneIn, and radio.com apps. I'm looking at a headline today from Los Angeles. I stand by to see if the person who perpetrated this murder is in the country illegally. A woman was stabbed Monday morning at a metro station in Studio City, L.A., stabbed in the throat. She has died. She has been murdered, and we will wait and see what is going on. That is not getting as many headlines as another story that happened overnight in Los Angeles, and that is the burglary of the official residence of the mayor of Los Angeles. Her name is Karen Bass. Now, Karen Bass won the mayorship in Los Angeles by spouting progressive policies. There was a law and order candidate. Of course, the law and order candidate didn't win. It's California. And here is Karen Bass in some of her campaign appearances, one of her campaign appearances, talking about the rising crime in Los Angeles and what she thinks the problem is.
I mean, it's really an embarrassment on our country that we have more people locked up in the United States than any place in the world. And if you look at the many, many, many people who are locked up, they're locked up because they're poor, because they can't afford bail, or they can't afford proper legal defense. If you dealt with the poverty aspect, you could probably reduce the population by 50% with that alone. You know, why are people incarcerated just because they can't make bail?
That is a lie. People are not locked up because they can't afford legal representation. They are locked up because they commit crimes. Now, I don't disagree with her, and I've said before that crime emanates from poverty, a large portion of it. There are knuckleheads and idiots and imbeciles who commit crimes just for the fun of it or just because they are selfish and horrible people. But some crime, I don't know what percentage, is driven by poverty. But her statement that they are locked up because they are poor, and that's exactly what she said, is a lie. If you do not commit the crime, you will not have to do the time. And by the way, you are provided a public defender. So even if you cannot afford one, an attorney is provided for you. I've watched enough cop shows. I've watched enough cop shows to know what the Miranda rights are of people who are arrested and cannot afford an attorney. But these lives spin out of control, not just in L.A., but here in Columbus, because of an array of factors. And what is inarguable is that this affects a disproportionate percentage of the black community than it does the white community. But there are still many victims in the white community who also are struggling with poverty. I think it's important from time to time to share with you the details of just how hopeless the conditions are in the inner city of Columbus, because our leaders prattle on about how much gains they're making in reducing criminal activity or creating opportunities for the youth of Columbus. And they may, in fact, be doing that, but we have a city where so many young lives are ruined by immersion in crime. And let me just read you a couple that are detailed in Bethany Bruner's reporting in today's Columbus Dispatch. A 23-year-old man will spend, get this, 7 years in prison. Seven. After admitting to his role in a shooting in a Sheetz parking lot that killed a 23-year-old man. So he murders this guy and he gets 7 years. Seven. Now, he's not charged with murder, because murder and voluntary manslaughter were dismissed as part of a plea agreement. Again, demonstrating the ongoing failure of the Franklin County Prosecutor's Office under the directorship of Gary Tyak. And I wish I could tell you it's going to get better under the leadership of Shayla Favor, but it's not. It's going to get worse. Where they don't prosecute crimes and they don't charge people with the full brunt of the offenses that they commit because they don't like the crime statistics reflecting accurately what crime is in the city of Columbus. Because who does that make look bad? Them. He agreed to plead guilty to attempted discharge of a firearm on prohibited premises and possessing a firearm while under disability. What really happened? He shot another guy, 23 years old, and murdered him. Here's another headline from Bethany Bruner's reporting this morning. A 17-year-old will remain in juvenile detention until his 21st birthday after admitting to shooting a 16-year-old at a party. They were at a party. They were goofing around. The one kid had a gun. He shot another kid. The kid died. He's only going to be off the streets for 3 years and change. 3 years and change. Another story. 17-year-old, the names are irrelevant, has entered the equivalent of a guilty plea to a delinquency charge of reckless homicide. March of 2023. Columbus police found a 15-year-old shot and killed. The guy who shot him, 17, will serve 3 years and 6 months in the Department of Youth Services. 3 years and 6 months. He killed another kid. He got 3 years and 6 months. Why is a 17-year-old not charged as an adult in this case? Because Gary Tyak's office, the Franklin County Prosecutor, Mayor Andrew Ginther, City Law Director Zach Klein, Joyce Beatty, all the way up the chain, every single Democrat in this town, they don't want to own their failures in not serving the people who they tell you they're doing a tremendous job of serving. It's an absolute outrage. But until the people in Linden and the Hilltop and the Near East Side change who they're voting for, then the hopelessness in their cities, in their portions of the city, is not going to change one little bit. It's not going to change one little bit. Now, last week we had the funeral for the Ohio Department of Rehabilitation and Corrections officer, Rodney Osborne. And now the State Highway Patrol has released its 18-page preliminary finding on his death, and they are investigating his death as a homicide. Now, homicide does not mean murder. Homicide means somebody else caused your death. He was shot during a training exercise. The initial reports were that it was a tragic accident. And so they are continuing to investigate that, and he was shot in the upper chest. It'll be interesting to see. It'll be very interesting to see if, and we have to assume that the person who shot Lieutenant Osborne was participating in the training exercise and therefore is a corrections officer or a law enforcement officer of some sort. It'll be very interesting to see what that person is charged with compared to some of the cases that I just outlined for you and whether the penalties for the person who shot Lieutenant Osborne in a tragic accident, and they try to make training exercises as realistic as possible. It'll be very interesting to see what that person is charged with and what kind of legal penalty they will serve compared to all these other cases that happen on a daily basis in the city of Columbus, and the Franklin County prosecutor basically sits there and does everything they can not to charge the perpetrators with the crimes that they should be charged with. That'll be a very, very, very interesting thing to examine. Now, over at Ohio State, they're having the same kind of anti-Semitic pro-Hamas protests that we see highlighted on national news shows at Columbia and Yale and Northwestern and elsewhere. It'll also be interesting to see how Ohio State handles this under the direction of President Ted Carter. Military guy, you would think, I would expect, the response from Ohio State to be dramatically different than it would be under the woke fool Christina Johnson, who thought she could take on Les Wexner in a power struggle and win. She got dismissed for her trouble. Ohio State has had these demonstrations, and the university released a statement over the weekend saying that they will, quote, always move quickly to enforce the law and university policy. Ohio State police and trained staff are on site for demonstrations on campus I know a couple of Ohio State University police officers. They're very accomplished officers, great people. And I certainly pray for their safety amid this unmitigated disaster of allowing anti-Semitism to run rampant on our college campuses throughout the country, not just in New York, but across the country. This is no different than the hatred that we all know defined Nazism and was aimed at Jewish people. It is absolutely no different. The people who embrace Hamas, who embrace anti-Semitism, who call for the genocide of Jews, who decry what they say is a genocide of Hamas, which absolutely is not, since Hamas has brought the wrath of Israel down on itself with its horrific actions on October the 17th. It'll be very interesting to see, very interesting to see what happens on this campus if that happens. We will start today's Today in Crazy segment right here at home, where a federal judge has dismissed parts of a federal lawsuit filed against Hilliard City Schools by parents who object to teachers at Hilliard keeping secret the gender dysphoria of one of the parents' students. Yes, and we've talked about Hilliard Schools and its deplorable leadership of Superintendent David Stewart before. Remember the whole thing with the teachers wearing badges, which essentially said, I'm safe, I'm LGBTQ friendly, you know, here's a QR code, and if you scan the QR code as a student, it'll take you to a website with all kinds of inappropriate material for you to see. And then David Stewart saying, oh, well, the QR code on the back was just for teachers. It was just a resource for teachers. It wasn't there for students to scan. They had no oversight of this. They have no way of knowing this. Why do the teachers even need to have the QR code on? Why can't you distribute that by inner office email or something? Why do you have to wear it on a badge and put it on a badge that a student can have access to? You are trusting the activists who are wearing the badge to keep the inappropriate resources out of the hands of students. Just utterly ridiculous. Well, now, U.S. District Court Judge Michael Watson has dismissed portions of the lawsuit filed by parents because the plaintiffs in the case argued that something might happen in the future but has not currently happened. Judge Watson says that he cannot allow this to continue in the lawsuit because he needs to have evidence that something bad did happen, not that it just could happen, but that it did happen before he can allow the precautions the parents want instituted at Hilliard Schools to become part of school policy. So do you see how nuts this is? In other words, what this judge is saying and what Superintendent Dave Stewart is embracing is we need to have a girl raped in a bathroom by a guy before we can pay attention to your concern that we might have a girl raped in a bathroom by a guy pretending to be a girl. Like, this is, what do we have? Okay, so what's one of the Democrats' favorite laws that they would love to have instituted, right? Gun control. Gun control, gun control, gun control. Why would the logic in this Hilliard lawsuit not apply to me if I wanted to go out and buy, say, an arsenal of submachine guns? Would that set off any red flags? My guess is it would. I could argue the same logic that this judge put forward. Hey, I've never misused an arsenal of submachine guns. You got to wait until I go out and do something with them that is against the law before you tell me I can't buy them. Would that logic fly in court? Of course not. We make laws all the time legislating against possible consequences of behavior that we outlaw. But in this case, because it's the LGBTQ agenda, because it is endorsed by the leadership of Hilliard City Schools and specifically by the superintendent, Dave Stewart, then it's just histrionics. It's just imaginative gobbledygook that you would want policies ingrained that would keep from happening what happened in this case. How did the parents of this student find out that the teachers at school were keeping their gender dysphoria secret? See, the kid had different names that they were called at school than their actual name given to them by their parents. The only way the parents found out about it was that a postcard about a school activity was emailed to the student's house, in which the school mistakenly used the secret name of the kid's preferred gender identity at the school. That's the only way the parents got to know about it. Like, if you had a daughter named Madeline and you got a postcard at home to address to Frank, and there's no Frank in your family, that is how the parents became aware of it. The school keeping secrets from parents. That's where we are. That is where we are in our society today. So there's your Today in Crazy from right here in suburban Columbus. I've also thought, I don't know that I've opined on this, but I think it's absolutely, it's more than crazy. It's really awful that the Biden administration has denied Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Secret Service protection. He's a legitimate candidate for president of the United States. His father was assassinated in 1968, but the Biden administration, because they do not want to do anything that can contribute to the possible success of the Robert F. Kennedy presidential run, they have denied him Secret Service protection. That is definitely crazy, but not as crazy as this. Do you remember Benny Thompson, the empty suit who sat next to Liz Cheney and chaired the primetime phony baloney dog and pony show January 6th subcommittee on the insurrection at the Capitol? Benny Thompson, Democrat, Mississippi, but you didn't need me to tell you what political party he was with, introduced legislation last week that could disqualify who? Robert F. Kennedy Jr. from Secret Service protection? No. Donald Trump from Secret Service protection. Thompson, who is, get this, the top-ranking member of the Homeland Security Committee, released a fact sheet that says Trump would be affected if his proposal passes and he becomes a convicted felon. In other words, if Trump is convicted in New York in this bogus, phony baloney trial, then he would be denied his Secret Service protection. Is it an overstatement to say these people want Trump dead? Is it an overstatement to say they want Trump dead? I don't know that it is an overstatement. Final headline, Today in Crazy. How would you feel if your student went off to college and got arrested? Well, if your nut job Minnesota congressperson Ilhan Omar, you would be enormously proud. Because Ilhan Omar, whose daughter attends Columbia and was one of the 100 Columbia students arrested in the anti-Semitic protests of the existence of Jewish students on campus and the existence of the Jewish state, Omar's daughter was arrested in the 100 at Columbia. And here's the statement from Ilhan Omar, who hates America and who hates Jews. I'm enormously proud of my daughter. She has always led with courage and compassion. Courage and compassion? Does compassion extend to Jewish people? Not in the Omar family, of course.